Let's read together James chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now, in this first half of the chapter, we have the rich denounced for their wrongdoing on the one hand, and the oppressed encouraged for their patience on the other hand. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Let's begin our study of James chapter 5 now with some background notes. The Epistle of James is a very practical book of Scripture. Even though it was written in the first century, because it's the Word of God, it's right up to date and speaks to us today in clear and certain terms. Very practical. In chapter 1, we had practical exhortation concerning the tests of our faith and our temptations to sin. In chapter 2, we were exhorted not to show favoritism to those having social status. In chapter 3, we were exhorted concerning the proper use of our tongues. James chapter 3, a very practical chapter in the Bible. Would you agree? Then in chapter 4, we had practical exhortation concerning strife. Strife even among ourselves as believers. This exhortation, of course, is not needed here at this church because there's never any strife here. Now, why was the laugh? You're such a happy, wonderful fellowship here. There's never any strife here, right? Well, there's always strife. So James chapter 4, certainly very practical. In chapter 4, we also were exhorted not to make plans concerning the future without taking the Lord into account. All our planning should be in the will of the Lord. Now here in the first half of James chapter 5, we have two more very practical exhortations. The first is to the rich. They are to stop their wrongdoing. The second is to the oppressed. They are to wait and be patient until their reward. So that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of James chapter 5. Doctrinal point number one, the sins of the rich will be judged. The sins of the rich will be judged. In verses 1 through 6, the verses that we just read, we have four sins of the rich denounced. Now, before we list these four sins of the rich, we need to ask this question. Who does James have in mind here when he addresses the rich? Is it rich Christians or rich non-Christians? Answer, both. Remember, the book was written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Chapter 1, verse 1. We said that this referred primarily to scattered Jewish believers throughout the Roman Empire. But certainly the contents of this letter would become known to many non-Christian Jews of the first century as well. The sad note here, of course, is that the sins of the rich mentioned here in James chapter 5 are practiced by many rich Christians then and today. Remember, it's not wrong to be rich if God chooses to make you rich. It's wrong to try to become rich, 1 Timothy 6:9. You see, rich Christians are vulnerable to committing the sins listed here. Hoarding is the first sin of the rich that we see here in verses 1 through 3. Instead of using their money and material to help the poor and needy, the rich of James' day were hoarding their wealth. Now their material treasures were moth-eaten and rotten, and their money was corroded. This hoarded up treasure would be a witness against them in the last days at the time of the judgments. Now, let me ask you this morning, are you a hoarding Christian? You say you're saving it for a rainy day. Hey, listen, the rainy day is already here for many folks. Look around you. Don't lose out on your reward in heaven, fellow believer, because you are hoarding here on earth. Is that convicting to you? Let's not hoard our wealth. Let's share it. A second sin of many rich people is acquiring wealth by dishonest means. Verse 4, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, or Lord Almighty. You know, by first century standards, hear this now, by first century standards, when the book of James was written, most of us here this morning, maybe all of us, are rich. You might say, you're not rich. Hey, put yourself back in the context of when this letter was written. By first century standards, when this epistle was written, most of us here this morning, probably all of us, are rich. Now, how did we get this way? By honest means or dishonest means? If you're an employer and you paid your employees inadequate wages, you're guilty of this sin. If you practice false advertising, you're guilty of this sin. If you cheated on your income tax returns or lied on your expense accounts, you're guilty of this sin. Maybe no one else knows, but the Lord Almighty knows. Verse 4. The third sin of the rich is luxurious living. Verse 5. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Luxurious living. That is living a self-indulgent lifestyle when others around us are in need. Illustration. You know, just this past week, a student of mine from a foreign country shared with me that she may have to leave school because her widowed mother is in desperate financial need. Now, if I don't do something about this need, I'm guilty of this sin. Because relative to this woman's situation, I'm well off. So I need to do something about it, or I'm guilty of this sin. The fourth sin of the rich is in verse 6. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. The idea here is that rich people take advantage of poor people and use their influence in many ways. In the courts, even, to pervert justice. Even to the literal death of the innocent who can't defend themselves. That's the point of verse 6. Even Christians have gotten involved in this. God will judge all of these sins. The sins of the rich will be judged. I trust that no one here this morning is involved in any of these sins. Doctrinal point number 2. The patience of the oppressed will be rewarded. The patience of the oppressed will be rewarded. Verses 7 through 11. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. This section that we just read is specifically addressed to believers who are being oppressed, either by people, oppressed by people, as in the case of the persecuted prophets of old, verse 10, or by circumstances, as in the case of the patriarch Job, Verse 11. Is anyone of you here this morning feeling oppressed, either by people or circumstances? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but maybe some of you are in that category. Well, here's some good news for you. If you're a Christian, you will receive reward if you patiently endure this oppression. That's what the teaching of this section of James chapter 5 is all about. Just as the farmer waits patiently for the rain and is rewarded with precious fruit, verse 7, so there will be reward for us if we patiently endure under oppression, whether it be oppression from people or oppression from circumstances. Job patiently endured and was rewarded in the end. Verse 11. Read the last chapter of Job, and you will see how the Lord was very compassionate and merciful, and Job was rewarded. Job endured. He patiently endured. And don't think you have to wait forever to get your reward. Life is short. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 8. The judge is standing at the door. Verse 9. The point here is that the Lord's return has always been imminent. There will be reward if you patiently endure. But don't think, oh, I can't do it. It's too long and I can't endure this. The point here is, hey, life is short. The Lord is at hand. The judge is standing at the door. It's not forever. You can do it. You can handle it. And certainly the implication here in this letter of James in the first century is when it says the Lord is at hand, the judge is standing at the door. The Lord's return has always been imminent. That means it doesn't necessarily have to happen tomorrow, but it could happen tomorrow. It could happen today. The return of the Lord has always been imminent. So that's an encouragement for you, for me, for any of us, as believers, if we're undergoing oppression right now from circumstances or people. So take heart if you're being oppressed right now. The patience of the oppressed will be rewarded. Practical application. Let your yes be yes. Let your yes be yes. Verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. You know, when you're under oppression, either from people or circumstances, there's a tendency to grumble, verse 9. And as we see here in verse 12, there's a tendency to make flippant statements using God's name. Not necessarily profanity or blasphemy, but just flippant oaths to supposedly add weight to our unthinking outbursts. You ever done this? This is wrong, and it will be judged. Remember, the Lord warned us of this same sin in Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. With the Lord's help, we should stay cool and calm and collected, and we should always be very honest. Let your yes be yes,